Raising teenagers is like nailing Jell-O to a tree. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Raising teenagers is like nailing Jell-O to a tree. Interesting illusion. Nailing Jell-O to a tree. Total impossibility, isn't it? But you can. What's one way to nail Jell-O to a tree? You freeze it. Freeze it, drill a hole in it, and nail it to a tree. What's another way to put Jell-O on a tree?
To put that, leave it in the container.
Yeah, not make it. Yeah.
Or put stack
in. Of course, you're not really putting Jell-O on the tree. You're just putting in the container with unmade Jell-O on the tree. Now, raising a teenager is like nailing Jell-O to a tree. It's a very impossible type task. What is so difficult about raising teenagers? Well, the wonderful thing about raising teenagers is that they are filled with questions. They're filled with adventure. They're filled with the possibility that anything is possible. They're filled with the idea that they can go and accomplish anything, no matter what it is, and no matter how difficult it is, and no matter how much they're told they can't do it, they can go and accomplish things that people just say are impossible to do. Now, many adults are still of the opinion that that's not so. However, all you have to do is look at what's going on in the computer industry today. Who are the hackers of computers? Most of them are young people, teenagers, who got bored with the programs that they saw and were told that they couldn't get into that program. There was no way that they could break in, not break into the program, but open the program. And so they went and did it. How did they do it? They did it very simply by just thinking, how will I do it? How will I do it? How is this program made? This program is a bunch of electronic circuits. These circuits talk to each other, and these circuits tell each other what's to be done and how it's to be done. These circuits inform each other of how they're to act and function, and the circuits can be diverted in any number of ways, and the circuits can be crystallized in another group of ways. The circuits can be made inoperative in another series of ways, all very easy and all very simple and all very wonderful. But an adult looks at it and is afraid to tackle something because he's afraid he's going to mess up the status quo. As the saying goes in adult society, which is the downfall of adult society, if it works, don't fix it. You heard that?
Mm-hmm.
If it works, don't fix it. Because if it works, when you're trying to fix it, you may probably make it worse. But the teenagers, who are like Jell-O being tacked to a pole, they just surround it. They're like an amoeba. They're like moving into a situation untouched. They say, hey, there's a simple system here. There's a simple way to look at this. There's a simple idea. They call it simple because they were never told it was complex. They were never told that doing certain things, you're liable to crash. And they love a crash. Don't kids love crashes? My goodness. They'll take their cars and crash them. They'll take other things and crash it. They'll take their speedboats and out in the lake, and they'll ram them into each other. And, that was what Bill was watching, the stock car races in Daytona Beach. And the stock car races are stock cars that are just cars that are jazzed up to do certain things. And they run them into each other, and they crash them into each other, and they roll them over, and they do all sorts of silly things to see who's going to be the winner. And they don't care. Mm-hmm. They got their helmets on. They got their seatbelts on. And they've got them pretty well fixed up so they don't start fire, you know. But they know that. And so they just go. And they look for the tiniest little hole. And what they're really looking for is the Daytona drivers. They're looking for a chicken. They're looking for someone who does not hold true to course because he's afraid he's going to be hit. And so he breaks away at the last minute, which means that the other fellow gets on through. Well, this is how teenagers and computers and teenagers and anything work. They're not afraid. They might get killed, so what? But they might not. And if they don't, they have just proven, what a great experience, you know. And for adults, we treasure our life so much. We treasure the things that we're doing. A teenager hasn't had time to treasure life yet. He's every minute he lives is just a minute of excitement and greatness and goodness. So maybe we want to learn to be more like a teenager. We want to learn to be more flamboyant and more resilient, more able to flow with whatever is going through our minds as the possibility. Because what goes through our minds as the possibility is not always the status quo. It's not always the recommended thing to do. It's very seldom it is a recommended thing to do. Because teenagers break ground in most marvelous ways. Now you're saying, well, Herb, it sounds like you just want to give a teenager carte blanche to do whatever he wants to do. And I would say, yes, that would be lovely. That would be lovely. Except for one little factor that has to come into play very strongly. And that is, will he hurt someone else? Not will he hurt himself. Those are things that we cannot stop a person from doing. But will he hurt someone else? Will he, by what he's doing, or she, create a situation which is going to be a blemish on the society? This is why the stem cell activity is so under control and they don't want it done, basically. You see, there are always going to be these people who are entrepreneurs, who are enterprising, who will go and take stem cells from newborn babies, and the baby dies in the process. You say, well, who would do a thing like that? Well, when the price is high enough, people do things. Yes. Ellen, would you take 20 of the finest men in Mönchengladbach, where you were raised, and say to them, gentlemen, today you have the privilege of giving your life for your country. How many of you are willing to do it? And all 20 of them are real gung-ho country people. Okay, so then you say, now come. And you line them up. And you say, all right, we're going to shoot you. You shoot them. Now, what benefit is there from that? What benefit is there? None, you think. But the big benefit is that these people decided to give their lives for their country in being shot. You understand?
Mm.
And they have made a noble gesture in their own consciousness. They have been the jello of being nailed to this post, which could not be done, because they have done it. And you say, well, now, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Well, it does. Who wants to be the first man on the moon? And maybe you might not come back, you know? Who wants to be the first men and women in a rocket that's going up? And one rocket went up and everybody died. That was kind of tough. But they wanted to go. And so it slowed down the rocket program, but it didn't slow down the desire in hundreds and thousands of men and women across the country and across the world who wanted to go to Mars, go to the moon. There's a fellow, I believe in England, who has created a rocket ship, and he is selling tickets to take rides to the moon. And quite an amazing fellow. Quite an amazing thing. And people are paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to do that. Now you say, who in their right mind would want to do something so unstable and insecure as that? Well, everyone who has the child in them yet. Everyone who has the imaginative spirit in them yet. Now, this is why Hinduism and Buddhism, Christianity, Islamic, and all the other religions of the world are so beneficial, not beneficial, but so enchanting. Because the words of Jesus were, what he did, we can do. And the things that we are told about what he did was he walked on water. So everyone's practicing walking on fire. And they think that's cool. So they're walking on fire, and they say the next step is walking on water. And of course it is. But then the next step is walking to the moon. And they show in one of the magazines that they're taking space journeys to outer space. And this person is sitting on this chair, which is being propelled into the sky, and he hasn't got an oxygen mask on or anything else like that. And I think to myself, how presumptive they are of what is the fact of the future. If they could look into the future, they'd see that they just tell the mind that you don't need this, you don't need to breathe, you don't need to have you're not going to be compressed by the atmosphere because you immediately acclimate to the atmosphere. Your body immediately functions properly, you know, like when you get the bends coming up too fast from underwater. Well, the mind has a billion ideas, all waiting to be expressed, all waiting to be revealed, all waiting to be lived. And when we're little children, we think of these ideas as common. When we're teenagers, we want to experiment with them. When we're adults, we want to do the logical thing with them. And when we're older people, we want to let the status quo be done. We lose our enthusiasm for change and for growth and for expansion. And that's just the time when we should not be doing this. In our mature years, we should be preparing to have the key to open the doorway into the awareness of our dimensions. Because once we have that key and we open the doorway to the awareness of all the dimensions that we are involved in, we can make a choice to go into those dimensions. Now, you say, well, Herb, that's kind of, that's kind of far out. Oh, okay, now. The key is like this. You know that death is not death. You know that life is eternal. And you know there are many dimensions of life. And so you think to yourself, hey, I'm using up my time here that I have chosen to call my time here, and I'll be moving on to another dimension shortly. Now, what dimension do I want to be in? What experience do I want to have? Do I want to be an advanced teenager? Do I want to be a child that is thinking all these thoughts that we never hear from children because they cannot describe them to us? And who do you want to be? What do you want to be? In what area do you want to live? How do you want to think? Well, don't even worry about it. When you're a mature adult getting ready for your transition, you listen within and you say, okay, I would like to review the various dimensions and choose one that I would like to go to. And so you mentally, quietly, listen within, and you let the divine within you, which knows all the dimensions, and it knows your proclivities, the things that delight you, and it makes you aware of those dimensions. And so you say, yeah, that sounds like fun. Not that one, that one, not that. But that one sounds like fun. And then you would find yourself in it. But you would find yourself in it with your body no longer on earth. There's nothing to bury. Because you have consciously made the choice to go to this new dimension, this new experience. And you don't necessarily take your body into this new dimension and this new experience. Your body is what might be called spiritualized, or is etherealized. It is one with the eternal matter, but the concept of you and your body is there, however you wish it. Now, most people don't experience that because they haven't taken the time in the mature years to think about what their next dimension is. They just take it and go. And that's fine too. But it's not as exciting as making choices. Before you're born into this dimension, everyone has had the opportunity to look at all the possibilities they could have. And they chose this one. And they chose this one with all of its potentialities or lack of potentialities. They chose this one living before Christ or after Christ or wherever, you know. And so, as they chose that, they chose it living on the area with the limitations it had. Now, we like the computer age. We find that most charming, most exciting. So, here we are. But why didn't we create ourselves in the year 3000 or the year 35000? Because if we had done that, guess where science would be at that time? Guess where the mind would be at that time? Guess where the ability, it's the same place it is now, only it would be aware of what it is. So, you see, knowing in your mature years the key to your inner self, your inner dimensions, is kind of fun. Not necessary, but fun. And if you want to do that, you can do it. And you see, that's what raising teenagers is like, trying to nail Jell-O to a tree. That's what that means. These teenagers have such a vibrant vitality to them, such a instability to them, as far as we call it instability, to accomplish all the gifts and dreams and desires that they want to do, that we cannot even conceive of how great it is. But for one thing, it is great. Think on these things. They're kind of nice to go to sleep with and wake up with the realization that all is done now. Have a good one. I love you. I love you. I love you.